since January. Forever.
Since the first one?
Ew. That was sticky.
Welcome to AEC Presents. I'm Alex.
I'm Jared.
I'm Laura.
And a little sticky, apparently, from...
Yeah, the moonshine was sticky on the bottom. Yeah. I wasn't expecting that.
That's why I don't touch anything other than what I plan to. Immediately before that, like, okay, I'm going to touch books. I know those are safe. So.
Yeah,
hand sanitizer?
Yes, that will help.
No, cut down the stick a little bit.
That is why it is here. Thank you, Ethan and Kaylee. This sanitizer is from your wedding. It says, grow love, not germs.
Yeah. Anyway... We survived Free Comic Book Day.
Yay!
I know there are a lot of concerned folks of if we'd survive it or not, but there's a little bit of rain, but nothing major.
We didn't even melt.
At least it wasn't major for me because I was running the register. So, like, all right, it's raining. Like, okay, cool. I'm ringing up people. I can't do anything about it. So
yeah,
have
we just
fun.
Stood outside under Casa's awning. There you go. So we were dry enough.
It was Ethan's fault. He said, hey, the rain's holding off, and then it immediately started sprinkling.
Oh, wow.
Well, like, within 5 seconds.
I already know that part, so yeah.
That's why he's getting his appendix out now. Karma.
That was Connor.
Oh, my bad. It doesn't
Connor
know.
Got his appendix out.
It doesn't know. Fate doesn't know your name.
Yeah. When he said Ethan, I was like, oh, your nephew. Why? He's like, he just texted you, but no.
The other Ethan. Nope. Okay. I just started talking about him.
Okay. Anyway.
Sorry, guys.
So, yeah, we survived. We were originally going to record this the day of Free Comic Book Day. Adam was going to hang out, but he had family stuff to take care of, so he went home. So, Adam, hopefully, Zelda got her nap and was cooperative for you. But, yeah, here we are on our normal day recording. And, like, we could have come up with another topic or just still talk about Free Comic Book Day. I was like, let's stick with Free Comic Book Day because it's been hectic in general. So, this keeps things a little bit calmer and organized-ish. Jared, you were dressed in cosplay.
Yep, Heroes for Hope were there. We looks like we've got a couple new members. We had a couple people the first time with us this Free Comic Book Day. They had a blast. I think they're going to join us, and it's going to be hopefully growing the group back to full strength.
Good. Yeah, I know for a little while you've like, we only got like three regulars.
Yeah, and... well, since COVID, it kind of shut us down for a while. And then some people moved to different states.
Which
and
is fair.
Our numbers just kind of shrank there for a little while. And we're starting to grow back up again. We're doing, we've done a parade this year, Free Comic Book Day. We've done a couple of... theater openings with the Ghostbusters movies, stuff like that. So hopefully we're going to be doing some more events and we'll see what comes up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was curious, are there more local people? I got the impression a lot of your people were based out of Columbus for a while, so...
A handful of them.
Might be easier to get more things done if they're more local.
I think most of them are fairly local. Okay. Adam, he's from...
You're down, the woods.
Yeah, south a little ways. I'm from a little ways away. But a handful of us are Delphus, Slima, that kind of area.
The hometown stations region.
Yes.
If you're watching.
Pretty much. Yeah, there you go. Pretty much. So, I think, the new people, I'm not positive where they're from. I'd have to ask them.
Yeah.
Or at least willing to come here to Lima or the Lima area to get things done.
Yeah. So hopefully we can grow our numbers if, you're into... cosplaying for charity events, look us up, Heroes for Hope, and
it's Heroes number 4.
Yes, Heroes number 4, Hope.
Okay, just because that search engine optimization, that's good.
Yes,
good to have that.
And is it a .org or .com?
It's a Facebook page.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
facebook.com/.
We talked about getting our nonprofit status a couple years ago. COVID kind of shut that thought down for a little while, and we were talking about it, and none of us want to do the paperwork for it. Okay. So I don't know if we're going to get our nonprofit status.
Depends if anybody knew was fired up about it or not.
Yeah. I think so. But as one that works in a nonprofit field, that much paperwork actually goes into it and stuff. I don't want to do it twice for two different places,
Right. When so you can't copy
I like my
paste.
Job and I like doing it there. I don't want to do it outside of the job also, that type of thing.
Right. Yeah.
But do let me know if you ever do, because I think there's a contact where I am now that can... donate more money to a real nonprofit.
Oh, okay.
Or you can donate to his job too. So
yeah.
Oh yeah, that.
Yeah.
I think they probably already do because, like, am I allowed to name drop?
I mean, whatever you're comfortable with.
I already
with.
Know okay. who it is.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I think so. Nutrien donates to CASA already. So
yeah.
Yeah. One thing that yeah, I
they
found,
were a big donor. That was, they were very helpful.
That was funny the day after Comic Day. Mike came in, he brought his car, his Ecto, whatever he calls it for the Heroes for that, or Ecto H4H maybe or something, I don't know. He pulled in, we got two spots for him, worked out fine. And then another car moved, so there's a spot that was close by, but he had to move his car to get three spots. Like, oh, cool, you like, hey, move your car over here so we can have it sideways so people in line can see the stuff a little bit better. So he was pulling in. And he was waiting for traffic behind him to move or something. I forget what he was trying to move. Or we're just trying to direct him, like, no, turn. And he was having fun and had his siren go. And I was like, I did the cutoff, like, stop doing this because there's a cop car right behind him. Like, stop it. There's someone here that actually matters. And the cops saw what was going on and they had fun. They flipped their siren on real quick just to freak him out. And the look on his face was hilarious. Like, oh crap, I'm going to go to jail on Free Comic Book Day. And they just flipped it on real quick and shut it off. And he had shut his off then. And the cop, and there's a passenger, so sheriff and deputy or whatever, I don't know how it works, but two of them were in the front seat and they were both cracking up laughing at his face and everything. Like, that's pretty funny. So I kick out of Mike almost going to jail, so that was fun. Or anything costume wise catch your attention for the day?
I did like that there was a mini marshmallow, a Stay Puffed Marshmallow yeah. man who came over, and he was so excited to see the other Stay Puffed Marshmallow person. Yeah. So,
yeah, and I know Mike and Shayna actually dressed up as Ghostbusters. Shayna had her Ghostbuster
jumpsuit.
Yeah. I don't know. I was like, going to say cosplay, but is it really cosplay? It's just a jumpsuit. So, but yeah, they had theirs. And Shayna's married to Adam, and Adam was wearing his Punisher stuff. But I love the picture of Adam with his daughter's sippy cup.
Yes.
Like, Punisher with a sippy cup is pretty cool. I was like, what's that sippy cup there, Punisher?
But none of your business. Yeah, I almost forgot. I like that blue netting that you were wearing, Jared. As
oh, yeah.
You were
Force
Obi-Wan,
Ghost
right?
Obi-Wan,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, because when I saw it, the first thing I thought was, oh, it's like the Emperor or the Force Lightning's happening. And I thought it was a cool add-on and a simple way to portray it, too.
Yeah, that was Mike's. I think Angie may have made it, one of the girls from Heroes for Hope. And I tore it.
I mean, yeah.
I'm sure they can sew it back together a little bit, though.
Yeah, I'm hoping.
It'll be fine.
I imagine you can probably get material online for relatively
yeah.
cheap to get it.
Yeah, that Mike said that material wasn't that expensive or anything.
I mean, it says so. It is. It shouldn't be that expensive.
Don't take it wrong. It kind of reminded me of, like, the netting for when you get the skimmers for your fishing pool. So I kind of didn't think that
it was a good mosquito net.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mosquitoes weren't really out then.
Right.
Still, I was
they
protected.
Were this morning.
Yeah. But yeah, we had a lot of people. We had a good amount.
Yeah.
The line
almost exactly 800.
It wasn't the longest line we've ever had for Free Comic Book Day, which I'm thankful for, because usually the longest is because we only had people coming through the front door. So
yeah.
Only one way in, one way out.
Yep.
Thankfully, Purple Feet, we asked them and they let us use their side entrance so people could come in through the parkway, come in through the side, look at the bar, had it roped off, and then come in.
Yeah.
So that just helps the flow go a lot
faster. Oh, much better, yeah. And then you still have to worry about fire codes. You can only have so many people in the store at a time, so you do have to stop that line until some people leave. And having a one flow movement rather than in and out the same door helped so much.
Absolutely. We only had two slight problems with having stuff out front. We had our standard dollar books and half-off trades and clearance stuff out front. Apparently there's a bird that left a present.
Oh, yeah. It missed the side of the table by like 6 inches. It was real close.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, when I came outside to check, I was like, oh, how's it going? Like, oh, you said there was a bird incident. I was like, oh, crap.
Literally.
But my fear is I've seen it before where a bird has flown into the window and died on one of the second or third floor.
Yeah.
And then fall down. Like, crap, there's going to be a dead bird that's going to be laying on a product. We're like, oh, it's just bird people. Like, oh, that's fine. I don't care about that.
At least it's not once living.
Right. There's that. And then there was some rain that happened. So people had to scramble to bring stuff in.
Yeah. But it was mostly sprinkles. It wasn't like
a
full-on rain.
Right.
Yeah. It wasn't downpour.
But it was still
It was enough for us to get under the awning.
And enough for us to readjust. Okay, where are we putting those? Where are we putting the free books? And adjust things. We definitely learned a few things of like what to do next time and what not to do. But yeah, it was overall, it still worked out pretty well.
Yeah, it was a good day all the way around.
I know the day went fast for me because A, I was on the register the entire time or the majority of the time. So that keeps me busy. And B, because we're open till 2. So instead of till 3 or 4, like, oh, free comic day is only 10 to 2. I'm cool with that.
People did not believe me when I was like, okay, it's going to end at 2. They're like, what? And I'm like, it's on the sign on the front wall. And I was like, well, at 2 o'clock, we'll see what happens. And if you don't want to believe me, like, it doesn't matter. Like, we're just not going to be here at 2.
Yeah. But I mean, everyone was fine with that. I don't know if anybody showed up after 2 because we were here instead playing games and taking quick naps because it was a long day.
Yeah.
Were there any of the free comic book books that stood out to you guys? I'll be honest, I only had a chance to read one of them. I haven't read the rest of them, so it's up to you guys to say if anything stood out to you that caught your attention.
Marvel's Blood Hunt. That looks pretty interesting. It's... looks like they're going into an event book.
That totally is, because Blood Hunt issue 1 came out last week also.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep.
So we are getting Marvel's Dracula. So,
which Dracula's been around in Marvel for a while.
But it looks like a good event around him.
And it is what Marvel hasn't done in a long time is a actual big crossover where there's a bunch of stuff going on. There's Spider-Man, Blood Hunt, X-Men is having their own, Fantastic Four is having their own, Wolverine's having his own.
Yep.
Like, it's a full-on major Marvel event. That's only 3 months long.
Yep. There's a character called Dr. Dark, and Spider-Man kept calling him Dr. Dork.
Nice.
You know, Spider-Man banter, classic banter from Spider-Man. So there was some good stuff in there. There's also a follow-up with, I think, Jubilee? Who was that?
That looks possible.
Yellow trench coat?
Yeah, sparkly fingertips? It's a yellow jacket, and I skimmed this one. Yellow jacket's
a different character.
An actual yellow jacket, not a name. I skimmed this one because I'm not up to date on any X-Men. And
it's all mess right now.
Yeah, I'm not big on it. But that one was good. That made me want to check out the event book, so I'll probably stop in tomorrow and grab the first issue.
Yes, that is definitely Jubilee. Because even says when I was a child, I speak as a child, I understood as a child, blah, blah, blah. I thought I was a child, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's definitely Jubilee.
Yeah, yep. But like I said, I only skimmed through it. The art's good. DC released their special edition of their, it's a prelude to the epic event of Absolute Power. I believe we're going to be getting, this is, Failsafe. The Batman that's kind of the robot Batman. He's got a bunch of, pretty much. A bunch of, lost the name of that robot. It can duplicate everyone's powers. It's gone.
I know LMDs, that's Marvel. So that's
it's very, very similar to those. I cannot think of the name of those. Robot guys. And so that was pretty good. I'd like to see where they're going with that. It looks like the Robot Batman, Amanda Waller, Task Force X, or Suicide Squad, all of those are going to be the ones in charge of safety and security. And it's looks very totalitarian.
Which they hinted towards that with this week's Batman book that came out.
Yep. So that looks pretty interesting. I'd like to see where they're going to go with that. I think the name of those robots are in the Batman issue, but that's for later.
Yeah.
So another one was Barkham Asylum. Yeah, it's got the pets. I have not read it yet, but that name just cracked me up. It's got a jokerized version of a dog, some cat on there. So that looks pretty fun.
Laura, I know you read more than I did, obviously.
Yeah.
I read one. Which ones did you read and did they stand out to you?
I read Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Who is the Night Watcher, Witches of Brooklyn, Barda, and...
Spider-Man?
Actually, I did not. Like, my rule tends to be I read things that I think either little kids are going to go for that I'm slightly worried about whether they should or not, and things that I'm not sure what they are at all. Like, if I know Spider-Man's going to be good, no matter what. I'm going to tell people to read Spider-Man pretty much no matter how bad it is. But how bad could it be in a Free Comic Book Day issue? Right. But, like, the rules I follow are to cut down on time. And Gotcha Man number 0 was the other thing I read. And I really like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle one, and I thought that would be a good one for kids of all ages. I admit the first, like, it was divided into 2 or 3 stories, and the first one wasn't super kid-friendly, but wasn't bad or anything. But the middle story was Splinter's Day Off, and it was a good all-ages book, and it was funny, and it was a good one. The other good one was Gotcha Man. Like, I didn't really know, I was not familiar with this at all, but it was a good introduction to the characters, and it's a team of...
It is a number 0 also.
Yeah.
So there's a new series coming out soon. So good on them for not doing just a random issue like, oh, just because. No, it's actually kicking off a new story that they're making.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was another one that had like 3 little tiny stories inside the book to give you a concept of who the characters are going to be and what they're here for. Although now I don't really remember what it was. The main sentence I wrote is, Dr. Nambu is assembling a backup science ninja team. So, science ninjas. What more do you need to know?
Yeah. one thing I do want to point out to those listeners that aren't paying attention, or that pay attention but not really, the Free Comic Book Day logo on these books, they all have different colors, which mean different things. Green means all ages. Blue means teen-ish. And I forget what the other color is, like adults.
Red.
And red is adults, so.
Yeah, is there a fourth color? Maybe that is just that. The 3.
But yeah. We learned that, a year or two ago from Mark. And he was like, oh, those colors mean different things. Like, they do?
I never knew that. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Right, so that's a good... If only there was a key anywhere that would actually say this is what they mean.
I thought it was in one of the previews 1 year.
It might have been, like, if they put on the flyers themselves, that'd be nice. So okay. Any of the advertising at all, like, hey... This is what this means, so you can anticipate whatever. So
that's another thing I look for when I usually am back organizing the books. So I try to keep an eye out that the little kids aren't grabbing the red titles because it's like, you probably aren't going to enjoy this as much.
Yeah,
like, and your parents are going to get mad at me, so please don't take that.
Especially, like, was it 2 years ago when for the Free Comic Day books, they gave out The Boys.
Yeah, that was awful.
And it was an extra adult issue. Like, guys, what are you... Well, no.
Why? I didn't even want that for free.
Well, I don't think we even gave it away. I think we had to order a minimum, like, 25 because they were, like, a gold sponsor. So we had to order it, and I don't think we even gave it away. Like, we're just not going
to... Okay.
We ordered the minimum. We're not going to give it away because this is... What were they thinking? Because it wasn't even, like, issue 1. It was, like, 42 in the middle of the story arc.
Yeah, and it had nothing to do with anything. And
other than just the shock value of everything. Like, that's not what we're going to do. So.
Yeah, I think I only remember... I think some people specifically asked about it, and we were able to give it to a few people who specifically asked. And other than that, we were like, we're not going to set it out.
Right.
But if you ask, it's behind the counter.
Yeah. Overall, I mean, we gave away all of our free books that we had this year. We had and to dig out. We had to dig out some of our older ones because, I mean, we never know what to anticipate. And we don't We don't want to overorder and be sitting on some. Like, we've had some free comic books back there from the last, like, 8 years. It's just that's that old that just sit back there. Like, well, what are we going to do with this? So.
Yeah, I'd like to find more things that we can do with them, but. No, we don't have to necessarily for this year's books.
Right.
But we'll look through the old inventory and brainstorm.
Yeah, I mean, I talked to Mark about it a little bit this week, and we are going to order up next year. So if we do have leftovers, hopefully we can, like, go to the different schools, like, hey, put our name tag on it, like that sort of other lending library. Stuff. No, just give it to the kids.
No, I guess I call it a lending library, but like. They have it to do with what, like, put in the classroom.
Yeah.
That reminds me too. Is there going to be a Halloween Comic Fest this year? Is that still a thing at all?
I've not heard anything. No.
Okay.
They stopped doing Halloween Comic Fest when COVID hit, and it's the same people that organize Free Comic Book Day, as far as I know, and they haven't done anything with it. So.
Okay.
It is what it is. Any other last minute Free Comic Book Day stuff we want to go over? I mean.
Star Wars was good.
Energon Ultimate Universe.
Spider-Man, the Transformers Energon stuff was good. I have not read it, but I've heard Johnny Quest is good, and there is a Thundercats story in there also. Which
the current Thundercats story has been really good. I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah, the art looks good and everything. I'm not a huge Thundercats fan, but
neither am I, but the story's been good. Yeah.
So. I didn't know they crossed over with Johnny Quest. Are they in the same universe?
It's the same publisher, just two different series.
What?
Free comic book day double feature.
Okay.
So, but yeah, there were some good books this year.
Was it
like 2 or 3 years ago? It was a lot of reprint stuff.
There's been a lot of crap years lately. This year was actually really good.
A lot of like what Free Comic Book Day should be, your event books, your preludes to it. Different stories, not just reprints of everything.
Well, the fact that Marvel had Blood Hunt Prelude and Blood Hunt number one come out the same week. Like, good on Marvel for finally realizing, hey, have a number one the week that Free Comic Book Day comes out, because we'll order up on it and with anticipation of selling on Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah. And quite honestly, I probably wouldn't even be that interested in Blood Hunt if it wasn't for Free Comic Book Day. Yeah. And now I'm going to be picking up the issue one.
And they're... I want to tease a little bit what we're going to. There's actually two versions of Blood Hunt number one. There's the regular Blood Hunt number one, and then the Blood Hunt number one Red Band edition, which is adult.
Ooh.
It has more, and I say it's adult, it has more gore in it, so.
It's readier.
And not the Thor character gore, but like blood and viscera.
Is it in stock?
Last I knew, I think we only had one copy left of the Red Band.
Ooh.
So.
Better get you in there first thing. You can always read
ours. Yeah.
You can specifically.
So, with that, let's move on to our books of the last few weeks that have caught our attention. If you want to mention the Free Comic Day books, like, hey, this also still, that's fine too, because I know, Lori, your schedule's been pretty hectic. But I will go first, and I'll mention, the Blood Hunt number one, specifically the Red Band edition. I was not expecting much out of it, because I don't care about vampires. They suck.
Same here.
That's my pun spot.
You actually have a rim shot in your
list. Yeah, but I don't know if it's actually on this channel that we do, or if it's the...
I think you should push buttons until it works.
Yeah, there you go.
That's the one we have. Because I don't have the right one saved.
That's fitting, too.
Yeah. but, anyway, so yeah, I don't really care about vampires, I just don't care about them. But this one, something goes on where the entire sun gets blotted out, where it's forever darkness on Earth.
Monty Burns.
Something along those lines, possibly, but more witchcraft and magic-y, probably. But yeah, vampires are running wild over the whole world. Anybody that has dark powers, like Cloak from Cloak and Dagger, can't control his power. And like, it's just everyone's spewing darkness to block out the sun, which, you know, vampires, they don't like the sun. So it's forever night around the world. And bad stuff happens with that. They're making vampires like crazy, so there's a whole bunch of like feral, non-trained vampires running around, just causing more havoc, just because.
Is Morlin involved in any of this? At first, that was the first thing that came to my mind.
Not that I've seen yet.
Okay, kind of good.
I won't rule anything out. But
anticipating Blade coming in.
Blade is in issue number one. He is the important figure within it. So yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on, and issue one was better than I thought it was going to be, and we are subscribed. Laura apparently subscribed us to the Red Band version, so good job.
Yep. Sometimes I get on Comic Hub and I fill things out.
So
I need to.
When I was checking stuff in, I was like, do I want to tear open it? Because the Red Band ones are polybag, so you have to break the seal if you want to read them. I was like, do I want to? I'm not sure if we're going to buy it. Then I was checking stuff in, like, oh, Laura, I subscribed to it. Cool, I can definitely open it and read it then, because I know you won't really care because you need to read it too. And that's the only way, is by breaking the seal. So, Blood Hunt number one.
Comic books are meant to be read, so break that seal.
Yeah. There's roughly two issues coming out every month. And it's only, so May, June, and July is the event that's going to be going on. So it's not a six-month event. It's only 3 months. So I'm grateful for that.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. Wise.
Now, ordering-wise, it's a whole different conversation because it's the order blind, but that's besides the point. So yeah, Blood Hunt number one is my first pick of the week. Jared, what is one of your picks of the week?
I'm going to go with Batman, number 147. This is Dark Prisons Part 3. We're still dealing with Failsafe. Bruce Wayne has gotten out of his prison cell and everything in the last issue, so he's kind of going into hiding to maybe gather some allies. We'll see where he goes with this, but Robin... Damien does find out that, Failsafe is kind of unhinged and not going to be a very good teammate and everything. So I'd like to see where they go with this. Tim Drake shows up. Amazo, that's the robot's name.
There you go.
So got it finally. So we'll see how this goes. This is definitely leading into their event book and everything. Looks like we got a new bat suit.
A new Bruce Wayne bat suit.
Yes, new Bruce Wayne bat suit. So that looks pretty interesting. The follow-up with the Riddler was pretty good. Riddler's in prison. I won't give any spoilers on that. That was fun.
But it's a backup.
So yeah, it's a backup.
And it's at least a two-parter backup.
Yeah. So yeah, Batman 147. I enjoyed it.
All right. Laura, what was one of your picks of the...
Some amount of time.
Yeah.
I think I will go with the most recent one I read, Crocodile Black. Number one came out this week by Philip Kennedy Johnson, SOM, and Patrico Delpiche. It was interesting. Like, I was actually glad. Normally when I wake up at 2:00 in the morning, I'm like, ah, why am I awake? But I was like, oh, since I'm awake, I'll go ahead and read a couple comics and then go back to sleep and I'll be ready later. And I was not mad that I was awake at 2 a.m. reading this comic because it was actually really good and interesting. I don't know how to not give too many spoilers. It sounds like the main character, I think he was Danny. Sorry if I give the wrong name.
Sounds right.
Yeah.
Sorry, folks. I don't have the book in front of us, so I failed to bring that book home.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't tell you I was going to talk about it, and we didn't buy it yet. I didn't tell you anything about it. I should do that now. But the main character seems like he's like in some therapy. He's had some issues and... There's some hints that it's some family drama. I'm not sure what spoilers I should give away.
I think it's he lives with his mom, sister, and stepdad, I believe.
Oh, I didn't know it was a stepdad.
It could be his actual father. I'm not sure. But I was definitely getting stepdad vibes from it.
Okay.
Or wicked stepdad, I guess. It's hard to say.
Okay. But it seems like this guy, Danny, is a delivery driver, kind of does maybe like DoorDash or grocery store kind of stuff. And... one of the deliveries he makes, he has an interesting surprise when he goes to deliver the groceries. And he makes some choices based on what he finds, and it leads to more things. And, like, I don't want to give it away, but it was...
There's like, some mystery with it.
He gets really obsessed with one thing in particular. And it was really interesting. I like the art in this book, too. How... I think this person, he has a sketchbook, and so he's sketching these things, and the artist who's writing the book is trying to portray his weird representations as if it's this kid drawing these things, which he is in the book, but they're just, the way he focused on this item and then put it into all these different versions of himself and versions of things, it was like, that's a weird thing to do, but that's kind of interesting that that's how this guy's mind is going. And there was also, like, almost this gremlin following him around. Like, he has a mysterious past that follows him, and it's literally, I called it the blood gremlin. It was following him in different panels, and I was like, that's really creepy, and I don't know what it is, but what the heck, I gotta know.
See, so. To me it reminds me of, like, apparently the new thing right now in Hollywood is imaginary friends, whether they're being super evil or super kid friendly. It reminds me of his imaginary friend that's following him along.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I definitely, there's some mystery happening and I want to know, but I'll probably not read it ever again because I won't have time, but someone else read this and tell me what's going on.
There you go. My other pick, I'm going to do two half picks in a row just because.
Halves?
Yep. First one is going to be Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace 25th Anniversary Special. This is an original story that takes place right around the events of Star Wars Episode 1, where Anakin, you know, does his pod racing and he wins and blah, blah, blah. But it also shows a little bit more of what he's going through with, like, his inner dialogue of Qui-Gon and everything like that. And it was just really cool to see, like, a quicker recap of the movie. Like, oh, it's episode one minus all the boring parts. So it actually worked out really well. But yeah, I enjoyed it. It was cool to see his Anakin's interaction with his mom and like the whole slave trade. Like, okay, well, you know, Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon, they bought Anakin, but well, they left his mom behind, and he's like, oh, I'll come back and save you. And but it was really good. Like I said, it's a better version of Star Wars Episode One, the movie, honestly. It was a quicker version. I really enjoyed it. It was way better than I thought it was going to be, and it had some original content to it that wasn't in the movie. So it's one shot. So when I saw the 25th anniversary, I was like, oh, crap, they're going to make a 5-issue, 6-issue miniseries out of this. Don't drag this one on, guys. Like, okay, we're not. It's just one done. I'm cool with that. And my other quick pick is going to be Ain't No Grave, number one. By Scotty Young and Jorge Corona. They're the same people that did The Me You Love in the Dark. But it is a Western with a twist. And
a twister.
Yeah. It's only a 5-issue miniseries, I think. But it's oversized, too, which is good because it is a $6 book. But it follows this lady where she has some sort of motivation to do something. I don't give it away.
Sorry.
Because, yeah. Because it is kind of a big deal where she abandons her family and goes on this adventure, and you can tell she definitely has a less than honest past that she's combating with. And yeah,
I don't think it reveals too much to say she's given a bad diagnosis, like health wise,
terminal disease of some sort where she's coughing up blood, which I think was usually what was the illness that was common. There's a specific
lung cancer and things.
Well, maybe. Yeah. But yeah, where she's, hacking up blood, and which is usually not a good sign when you do that. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. Art was great.
Yeah, I love the way they drew the panels. Sorry to cut in a little bit. Like, I love that it was not a typical pattern. Like, it had a lot of smaller panels instead of the normal, like, 6-panel routine thing. And it made me think about it when they were trying to describe how far she was going. They were drawing these huge landscapes in these tiny little panels. So it was 3 really distinct giant landscapes just to show she went a long ways and we're going to cut that. Like, we're not going to tell you all about it, but they were telling a lot of story with just the art, and I love that.
Yeah, and that's what they did with the Be You Love of the Dark, at least, where they do great storytelling with what they have here.
Oh, yeah, and they had more of the musical notes that did things, too. And I was like, oh, that's like this guy's theme.
That's what they do. This
team's theme.
So, yeah, I really enjoyed it. It's only 5-issue. I was leery at first, like, oh, crap, it's a Western. I don't care about Westerns, typically.
Oh, I was like, oh, it's a Western. I can't wait.
So, but, yeah, I mean, I still enjoyed it. I'm curious to see where that's going to go. It's only a 5-issue miniseries, so that's cool.
I love how often we like books for, like, the opposite reasons.
Dang it, that sounds good.
Put it on the list.
I need another book.
Find Comic Hub.
See, I told you yesterday to actually look at the stuff when you came in. Like, no, I'll just get this stuff when I'm out.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
All right. But, Jared, what is your other pick of the week?
I'm going to go with a quick twofer. Zorro number 4. You talked me into getting this series. This was the final issue, I do believe.
It is, yes.
I don't think it's been...
By Sean Murphy.
Yep, I don't think it's been set into an ongoing or sequel or anything yet.
Well,
this was just a 4-issue mini.
So, to recap a little bit, they did plot holes, and they ended with like, hey, coming soon, this new Zorro book, which the Zorro character was in the end of the plot holes. This one, there is no other indication of anything else going on. I imagine they'll probably do more because Murphy's, best of my knowledge, he's still alive doing stuff. So
yep, this is the ending to the fight with the big bad. It was good. I don't want to give any spoilers because it just came out this week. Last week. But
so spoiler.
This was really good.
It should be hitting trade soonish.
Okay, yeah. It's done. I'll give a little bit of spoiler. The final fight was really good. So he's in an arm sling.
I love how they did the Z at the end.
Yes.
With the staircase.
Yep.
I don't want to give anything else away, but like that was cool.
Yeah. But he's in an arm sling and he's fighting sword fighting with one arm and everything. And he says, who said anything about having only one arm? And then he pulls the sword out and gets the sword away from him and has 2 swords. So it was a very good, epic final confrontation. I can't say too many. I can't say anything bad about this book. It was solid.
Yeah,
it was really good.
And it's a 4-issue series.
Yeah,
so it's a quick read.
Yep. And then Darth Vader number 46. This has been pretty good. Greg Pak is doing it. It's been solid. This is coming off of the Free Comic Book Day issue, so Vader is going up against a group from Exegol, I believe. Something like that. I'm going to have to reread the entire story arc. But there's a big epic confrontation. Vader brings a droid that is disguised as him, so they all attack that droid. So, nice. You know, a little bit of a subterfuge going on with Vader and everything. So there's some good stuff in here. The Vader series has been pretty solid overall, especially since they're bringing in Sabe, who was Queen Amidala's handmaiden. The stuff with her.
The body double.
Yeah, the body double. That stuff's been really solid all the way through. So, it's been good. Star Wars has been really good in the comics here recently.
There you go. From my 25th anniversary to the current Vader.
Yep.
Laura, what are your other picks of the week?
Okay. The other two books that I read on the week of, April 24th, just to throw it out there, Spectrograph number one, James Tynion the fourth, oh my God. You only care about James Tynion, right?
Yeah.
Everybody? but he wrote this. It was an oversized issue. It was kind of some watercolory art. It was, I didn't care for the art, but it's kind of this mystery, you don't know what's going on, cultist kind of thing going on. So the art did go well with it, even if I didn't like the way it looked. And it was really interesting to me. It sounds like the main character that they start out with, she's like a real estate agent, and she's trying to sell this house that apparently is like a gateway to something. And it kind of reminded me, too, of the OA. It was this TV show where, like, there was a maze inside this house. There's a maze inside this house, too. And you have to, like, know a secret code to get in. And then you're trying to get to the center of the house where, like, all this culty stuff happens. And, like, if you don't do it right, you just get trapped and you probably die. I'm not sure what's going to happen, but I think by the end, at least two or more people are trapped inside this house. And they've got eight books of schematics and, like, all this information. And they still don't know what the heck's going on with this house. It's like, you have the instruction manuals, but they're so in-depth, you can't even RTFM. So I thought that was a really interesting story, and I'm curious where it'll go. And the other quick pick, just to throw out there, Dick Tracy number one exists. I know some people, they're like, oh, man, I used to watch Dick Tracy when I was a kid.
The old school
detective
stuff.
And it gave me some Tick vibes because it started out, The City, 1947. That's really all I remember from it. And Dick Tracy, you know, he's a detective. He'll be a murder mystery. So if you're interested in Dick Tracy, go back to April 24th and find that number one issue.
I think we still have them on the wall, too. So
okay.
Works out. With that, let's move on to our book club book of the week, which is
Spider-Man
by Tom Taylor. If you don't want spoilers on this, Laura, what are we reading for next episode of the podcast?
I don't remember the name of it, but I know it has to do with Oppenheimer.
Nope.
Wrong. Oh, did I pick Tolkien instead?
You picked Tolkien.
My bad. How about Tolkien?
There you go.
Yeah, I don't know. It was pretty and it was on the shelf. And you said I could.
So the next one will be Tolkien, Lighting Up the Darkness. It's a newer book that we got in, but it's about the story of Tolkien. So we'll see how it goes. So, Spider-Man by Tom Taylor.
Sorry.
I read this when it first came out in single issues. Jared, I'm guessing you probably didn't.
I did not. This was the first. I knew some pieces that happened in this book. Like, this is the story arc where Aunt May gets diagnosed with cancer.
Yep.
So I knew that had happened. I'd never read that, though.
Yeah, me neither. I was mad because in the Amazing line, she, like, they introduced the cancer and they never talked about it again. And this is why. Apparently, they addressed all of it in here.
In the Friendly Neighborhood.
And I was like, when I read this, I was like, oh, that's where they swept this. This is the rug this was under.
They also swept under York under there, too.
Yeah. Less excited about that.
Well, yeah.
Not that I was like, oh, yeah, Aunt May has cancer. I'm excited, but just to have them address it.
Yeah. I would have rather read a little bit more about that than the Undercity stuff, but that stuff was still pretty cool.
But yeah, this book contains a whole bunch of Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, the War of the Realms one-shot.
Yeah, that was kind of weird to shoehorn in there.
I mean, it came out around the same time, and it was still written by Tom Taylor.
It was still... it just took me out of the story. Kind of
fit just a little bit, but it was a little off. Just
it was. Yeah,
it thrown was in so there. Heavy, too.
Yeah. I mean, it, but the Spider-Man humor in it was still pretty accurate to Spider-Man of...
Yeah,
the
but
goofy hat. Like, I just give you the goofiest thing that I could find.
Yeah, but still, like, characters died.
Yeah,
it was rough.
Yeah,
like it was all pretty lighthearted, not too bad. Then all of a sudden, it was like death, and then like
the Valkyrie, with the horses. Valkyries. Yeah,
there was some other issue that kind of didn't fit in there too, and then it went back to
a spider bite issue stood out.
Yeah,
whereas the kid that had cancer that
also was heavy Spider-Man for one sad. Day. But I mean, not that they weren't good, but they broke up this story that it...
It was,
I didn't like the way they collected the trade.
It was weirdly interjected. Like, I get if that was roughly the time they came out, but they could have put it at the end. Like, here's the main story, and then here's these two little one-shots that wrap it up and be done. Like, I would have ended with the spider bite stuff, just because that's uplifting. He's with a kid.
Yeah, and it kind of fits in with little... He's there visiting Aunt May and the kids there. You know what I mean?
That type
of
thing. So, yeah, that would have fit better at the end.
Yep. I agree the War of the Realm stuff didn't need to be in this.
It didn't, but it shows him dealing with grief.
Yeah.
And especially, like, he just made this brand new friend that he can speak horse to. I love when they cut away where everyone else sees what he's saying and he's like neighing on the horse. Like,
yes.
Is he actually talking or is he having a stroke or something right now?
Yeah, that was great.
Oh, yeah. At that point, I wanted to point out when the She-Hulk recently threw Spider-Man in the gang war, and everyone's like, oh, Speedball Special, what the heck? But when Logan gets thrown by Luke Cage, everybody's cool with it. What's up with that?
Because everyone always throws Wolverine. It's just the Fastball Special. It's whatever he gets thrown. It's usually by Colossus that throws him, because with the X-Men, but if anybody's strong enough, then yeah, it's just the Fastball Special.
Oh, okay.
Because he's the Fastball.
I knew that Spider-Man got a bunch of crap for that, and I'm like, how come it's okay when Wolverine does it?
I mean, people are dumb. You gotta keep that in mind, too.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, we'll start with the Under York story.
Will we?
Let's go back to the beginning,
just a little bit towards the beginning. So, Peter's got neighbors.
He lives, and roommates.
And roommates. And,
including a former criminal roommate.
Yes. But the neighbor down the hall, he doesn't know very well, has two kids, and she's doesn't leave her apartment ever. So,
and his other neighbor, the elder lady, is like, hey, you should go check up on her and see what's going on.
Yeah, so he does, and then as he goes out to get food, he comes back. Oh, she's being held captive, so he's got to take a punch so he doesn't give away his secret identity, and somebody knocks him out for real.
He's like, oh, I mean,
oh, I got to make this look good, and then he wakes up later.
Right, like, oh, that was a super punch.
So he's now a babysitter pretty much because the kids were hidden.
Well, and going back even further, I love how it starts with Peter saving a moving truck that's fallen off a bridge.
Oh, yes.
That set up a lot. I forgot.
He saves this guy and his kid, and then you find out that their wife/mom, depending on which point of view you're looking at, is a cop of the NYPD.
Yeah, cop that just moved in.
So a non-corrupt cop that's moving in. So he had, throughout the whole book, he's like, man, it feels weird actually working with the police.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And like, I don't trust anybody else, but I can trust you. And she's like, yeah, you literally saved my world by saving my family and everything. Yeah. So like, they definitely do a lot of early setups. Like, okay, this is going to pay off with everything. So between saving the family to talking to, what's the old lady name?
Marnie/Rumor.
Marnie.
Yes.
Which you find out is an Under Yorker under the name The Rumor.
Mm-hmm. Which I at first was like, well, that's a typical comic book name. And then later on they go into describe it just a little bit more and how she came to that name.
There's only rumors of my existence the entire time.
Like, oh, that's fitting.
Right. You know? And
that's good.
He's like, how old are you? A lady doesn't discuss this. So I thought,
yeah.
She fought with Captain America in the 40s, in World War II.
Right.
So she's old.
Yeah. It's the way they were setting up that was really cool. When Peter needs a babysitter for the two kids, they're like, oh, can you guys get us like a real hero, a better superhero? Like, ouch, I'm right here. And the Human Torch is like, oh, Johnny, we know you. Like, really? You know him, but you don't know Spider-Man?
Right.
Like,
there's some good stuff in there.
Right. Just the interactions between all of it was pretty great. For me, the story of the Under York stuff in general, it was fine. Like, it was standard.
It was okay.
Evil leader trying to take over for everything. I see you flipping through. I love the interaction with Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
When, who was injured?
It was the,
oh, it was
the kid who kind of stole that car, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, you can take hospitals for this. Wait, you did you broke his arm and yourself, didn't you? Yeah. But you still swore the oath for like healing people, right?
Yep. Yeah. There was that whole situation was good. And then he's asking Dr. Strange about Aunt May's cancer.
Well, and they tease the whole, one more day, brand new day thing. Yeah. Also, like, oh, you don't make a deal with the devil. You never know what's going to happen with that.
Right.
Like, I see what you did there. Yeah, the Aunt May cancer stuff, it's, I'm glad it's not all together. Like, they sprinkled it here and there.
Oh, yeah.
The stuff.
Yeah. Yep.
And which Peter, they should have done in Amazing, too.
Well, I mean,
like, I'm so mad. Yeah.
Yep. And with the stuff with Aunt May and Mary Jane was good.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the fact that Peter actually came through, like, the one time it finally truly matters, he did come through with, like, no, he's going to be there for her.
Yep.
He convinced the hacker kid to turn the grid back on. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
You are, you know, being bullied or whatever, but also,
this is not the time. You know,
this is your chance to make a choice of which path are you going to go down. And the kid's like, oh, for Spider-Man, you saved the world. How many times? Yeah, I'll fix it. Like, don't worry about it. Like, give him that kid that perspective. Like, oh, well, I am hurting. I'm not just shutting off the lights off just to torment people. Like, real lives are at stake with this sort of thing. So it was cool to see him, like, on the personal level, reach out to that person.
Yeah. I liked the stuff with the Prowler and Rumor's ex-husband. That whole story arc culminated in Tony Stark offering him a job.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that was great.
I know we said the pacing for the one-shots were a little disjointed, but at least they were back to back with the Spider-Bite with the cancer and the War of the Realms. Okay, it's like a full on. Meanwhile, it's like the way I took it. Okay, something completely different, and then back to the normally programmed stuff. So I do, at least if they're going to be weird about it, they're back to back, then go back to a regular story.
Yeah, I did like later on. What was it, Mary Jane's day out or something?
I think
friendly
it was
neighborhood,
like,
Mary Jane.
And I was just looking for that title. Yeah.
Peter is, you know, he was out fighting a troll. He's this and that, and he's exhausted. Goes to sleep. Mary Jane is going to go take Aunt May to her doctor's appointment. Gets on the subway, and the subway gets stopped. Not
the doctor's
appointment,
but to the, like, she's going to get wig shopping.
Yeah, wig shopping.
And like, well, I got the one, and I love her response. Why get just one? Like,
right.
What are you, Peter Parker?
Yeah. Right.
So there's
also
a
like
giant,
going back just a second.
Oh, yeah.
When Spider-Man falls asleep, and he's like, oh, but the city needs me. And Mary Jane says, I'll take care of the city while you sleep. And she literally does.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I thought that was good, too.
But and you'll get to that next time.
She's on the subway train, and a troll stops the train. Mm-hmm. So she's got to battle a troll with Miles Morales, Spider-Man.
Yeah, I loved when she turned around. She's like, I told you to go to sleep. Oh, and he's like, what are we talking about? Never Why are mind. We already fighting?
Sorry, wrong Spider-Man. I love the fact that the troll was in, like, yoga gear. Like, he had his sweatbands on.
Yeah.
And like, it was definitely not the old school under the bridge troll. But, like, of course, the troll would be living underground. Like, why are you so cliche, troll? Like, come on, do better. Yep.
Yeah, and everyone who interacted with Mary Jane was like, you're kind of good at this. And she's like, not my first rodeo.
Yeah. yeah, I mean, they did a great job accenting a whole bunch of different characters in this, too. Or focusing on, like, spotlights of them, too.
I think this was the time when Mary Jane may have been Tony Stark's assistant, too.
I believe she
rang him up at one point, too, and was like, hey, need some help here.
send a crew here to clean this up. I got stuff I got to take care of. Yeah, I mean, the towards the end where Peter was dying, or was Spider-Man was dead.
Yeah, everyone thought he was dead.
I love how he snuck, how Peter, like, I'm sneaking to Mary Jane's apartment first thing before she sees the news. Of course, she saw the news already.
Yep.
But he's like, I try to get here as fast as possible. Maybe it's best for the world to think that I'm dead, so I'm stopped being targeted. Because
yeah,
the Under York mayor dictator set a head out for him. Like, okay, we'll do whatever it takes. So it's endangering a whole bunch of people. He's like, no, I need to stay quote unquote dead until I resolve this.
Yep.
And just that interaction, I mean, that was what, 2 pages of them just talking like, okay, we need to figure this out. You're not dead. Yay. Also, you're freezing. Here's some coffee to warm up and everything like that. The actual fight with the Under York dictator, I really enjoyed with the Fantastic Four.
Yeah, that was good. Science Five.
Yep, I was going to say, when the Science Fives broke
that's
out.
That's why I love the Science Fives. Like, don't ever do that again. They do it twice.
Yeah, and then they got Johnny Storm into it. It was non-consensual.
He's like, I didn't mean to.
Yep, they disarmed the bomb. The bomb had fallen into lava, and it was so hot they couldn't touch it, so Johnny could. So they had him disarm it with their instructions, and they're like, okay, turn the flame off on each of your hands and hold them out, you know, and they all did the Science Five with him. That was great.
Well, and the fact when they're just taking the elevator downstairs, like, oh, well, the security guys, false alarm, there's no one here. And was it Johnny or it was Johnny. See, invisibility, that is what we should have done at the back of the apartment. Like, that's what we should have done beforehand. Instead of, oh no, they're here fighting us, just go invisible. There's no one here. It's fine. Like, if they enjoy the invisible one, she won't let you see them. So, but yeah, the Science Fives, I loved that. Yep. That was just fun.
That was good.
Yeah, Johnny reminded me of a cat when he's like, I did not consent to that. there was also a quick Beatles reference. You say you want a revolution when they started taking down the dictatorship of the Under York guy. And I forgot to mention too, I'm flipping through my pictures that I took because you can't screen cap in the Hoopla app because they don't want you to steal these things. So I had to take a picture of my tablet. But Mary Jane said to Miles Morales, keep the monster busy. Try to avoid any more blunt force trauma. And Miles turns to her and is like, words to live by.
Any other things about this that you guys want to mention? I liked the interaction with Peter. Peter Miles, like, okay, what's the best pizza in New York? And then go like
that's the one I thought was a Free Comic Book Day issue from another year.
Probably was, actually. I just love we're ending on a high note of them, yeah. Like, yeah, they're fighting, enjoying. They're fighting the Shocker and like big stakes. Meanwhile, they're talking about pizza. And he's like, oh, well, obviously, like, everyone has their own burrow that there's their favorite, and Shocker has his own. And everyone else laughs, like, really? Yeah. That's the one? Like, come on,
it tastes like your childhood.
And that's what the ultimate determining factor is. The best pizza is whatever was of your childhood. Like, that was just a good, happy ending. And then, I guess technically the final story is Spider-Man with a cat that has zero words. Marvel, I guess meow. It looks like it might have been a cover. Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man #4, Marvel Meow variant. So, but it's still a little story in itself. But, yeah. 1 to 5. 1 being awful, 5 being great. Jared, what would you rate this? Keep in mind that Laura's here.
I am going to go a 4. Just because those few issues, while I did enjoy them, did kind of change the pace of the story arc. The Undercity was underwhelming at spots.
I mean, that's the whole point. It's supposed to be under.
Exactly. But if overall, the story was really good. The dialogue was phenomenal. Tom Taylor was awesome, you know. But I would probably go 4.
Laura, what would you rate it?
I'm going to stick with 4 as well. Honestly, I was struggling to get through this just from time constraints, really. And when I was going to end on Free Comic Book Day, just before we were hitting the Mary Jane part of this, and I had just gone through, I was up to like the spider bite part, and that's when things got really disjointed and I was really disappointed. I was like, I'm going to give this a 3 at this point. Like, I'm so mad how this thing's going. But then it really redeemed itself in the last half. So back up to 4.
Yeah, I think it would have been better a little bit with better editing with that. Yeah. I mean, either have it at the very beginning or the very end.
Or not include those two issues at all.
I mean, I think
at least the War of the Realms one.
At least the War of the Realms that you could have skipped.
So sad.
The spider bite, I think that one is a good uplifting one. That's worth
it. Oh, happening. I agree. Yeah, and with Aunt May's cancer, it fits into this better. Yeah.
So I think that one would have done the World Around. I think it was just because, like, well, Tom Taylor wrote it and we did one shot. So
throw
it in there for filler. I mean, don't be wrong. I love the art of that right. too.
Like, yeah.
The art
was, and the story itself was good. It just didn't fit the whole book.
Right.
Yeah. And the War of the Realms should have its own trade.
I mean,
like, there was so much stuff.
Probably does somewhere.
Yeah.
I think I'll give it a 4 out of 5 also, just again, the editing. I think it's not Tom Taylor, it's just whoever edited and put this collection in the way it did. I leave the New York pizza one, leave that at the end, because that's a good ending for the, like, to wrap it all up and, like, ta-da. I probably would have made, I like the War of the Realms just because of him talking to the horse. Like, that alone was funny. So I'll keep that in, but I would definitely made it start out with.
He just talks to the horse. That's it.
Well, I mean, that whole story. I would. No, I probably would have kicked off the book with that, maybe even, and then the Spider Bite. I think would have worked. I think the Spider Bite story itself worked fine in the middle of everything.
Oh yeah,
cancer treatment and stuff.
Yep.
Worked out for that.
Well, it fit where it was at too, because that's when kind of Peter learned that Aunt May had cancer. He was there with her at times.
And he
would
have seen other people that and all the kids have. And
it
kind of
fits. Oh, he's in the hospital with a kid. Well, that's very fitting where it was at.
Well, he sees the kids with cancer while he's as Peter Parker's like, right. Oh, well, what can I do? Well, like,
yeah,
Spider-Man can come in.
Yep.
And I love that. Well, the villain's a stealth man. Like, whenever I see stealth man, I always get kicked out. Like, really? That's who you're going against?
Yeah.
But, yeah. And who knows? Maybe this is the inspiration of the current Spider-Boy.
Could be. I don't
know. But yeah, 4 out of 5. So, again, Jared, what are we reading for next time?
The Tolkien.
There you go. You remembered. You stuttered a little bit. But now the real test is the final segment of the week. Heroes of the Week, comic book or otherwise. Laura, do you have anybody ready?
Yep.
Who would you like to say?
I was going to say Dave from Purple Feet is my hero because he helped you figure out your birthday present, your butane torch to smoke your whiskey.
Okay, so. I'm going to use my backup one then because that's okay. That was on mine also. So I'm going to say in part Laura for giving me a birthday present. Thank you. Yay. Of the smoked Happy cocktail. Birthday. Mix thing that you got to see on Saturday. Mm-hmm. We make
smoke, that was pretty cool.
Smoke drinks now.
That's fun to watch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And my other one is going to be, I put in the group chat because I was when we were organizing the dog books, Thunderstrike. I found Thunderstrike number one. And I was like, oh, remember we were talking about the bad costumes? Like, here it is, number one. And I just thought it was funny. So just it's dumb, but mostly Dave for helping with the Dave and Laura for my birthday presents. And then Thunderstrike, because that was funny that I found it in the dog books. Like, hey, that's the picture that the internet used for describing his costume, too. So it worked out. All right, Jared.
I think I can go with this one. So I don't know the person. Somebody had nominated Crime Victim Services for Nonprofit of the Year through the Chamber. We were able to go to their Chamber Gala, which was a nice, fun evening, and we actually won.
Nice. Congratulations.
So, yeah. I don't know who that mysterious person or organization that nominated us is, but thank you.
There you go. And thank you for the Chamber for giving you the award.
Yes, and thank the Chamber.
All right. So with that, we will be back planning on 2 weeks, barring any complications. We're back to our normal every other week schedule.
Yes.
Let me check my calendar real quick. Nothing should be going on that day, so that should be fine.
The only thing I've got going on that day is this.
I mean, and real work too, but.
No, that's not on my calendar.
Yeah. Take that day off.
I do want to mention a couple of things real quick, though. I guess one other thing is not this coming Saturday, but the next Saturday, May 18th from 11 to 1:30 p.m., we are doing a pet adoption day with All Star Pets. So they're going to bring out some furry friends.
Companions.
That's a better word. For a pet adoption day. So hopefully people come out and get some new fur babies for their household.
At Alter Ego?
That will be at Alter Ego Comics. Yeah. Saturday, nice. May 18th from 11 to 1:30 p.m. So if you don't want a furry friend to live in your house, you can come out and pet them. They'll like that your scratches and neck scratches. So.
Yep. Just support the event.
Yep. The event and the shelter. So.
Will there be any sort of like a fundraising opportunity?
I don't think so officially, but I imagine if you want to give them money, then I imagine someone will take it. But. that's the plan, is to have a pet adoption day that day, and hopefully everything goes well, and we'll see what we can do. But until then, thank you for listening, everybody, and we will see you all next time. Stanley's asleep.
Yep. I'm cold. We put him out.